Now, do you have questions for us, or do you want us to...
Yeah, I would say there is, from that website I shared, we have a few prompts. For example, if you would want to give a brief biography, you could also share your favorite memory with them. Another question is, what is something you would say to them now, if you could? And then the last one is any kind of reflection around HIV and AIDS awareness. So these are all questions that we offer as prompts, and you're welcome to answer any of them. There's also options like whatever comes to mind. Like we did a workshop called What Songs Did They Sing? That was informed of like...
Tainted Love. Believe it or not, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Tainted Love. Well, he was in an air band with you.
Yeah, it was just... we were young.
Yeah, it was the 80s.
Crazy times.
Crazy times. Yeah, and he air guitar or air... No, he played the keyboards, I think,
yeah.
and did Tainted Love, and he actually loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott was one of 8 children. And in 1990, well, his, how am I going to phrase this? That his parents were not supportive. His parents were not supportive.
Well, not just about the HIV/AIDS thing. It was
about the gay thing, about
his choices.
Yeah.
His choices. It was all about the choices that he made.
Yeah. When I told my mom that he was sick, her response to me was, that's the lifestyle he's chosen, and he'll have to suffer the consequences. And if she was alive today and you asked her how Scott died, she would say he died of cancer. Never acknowledged it, didn't go and see him when he was dying. Because we had a time frame of 6 weeks. So everybody had an opportunity to go and visit him. Well, except Allison, who was far too pregnant. And she was like, my mother did not go and my father didn't go because my mother didn't go.
Well, you know what
and
you said.
Her answer was, he would know there was something wrong. I think he pretty much knows that. Plus, he had dementia, so he actually, when he was at his sickest, I don't think he knew that. There's one story that is funny now. At the time, it was not funny. I had spent probably 3 weeks out there.
Yeah, I think so.
And I was staying at my other sisters and I would go to the hospital every morning and I walk in his room and I'm like, I look on the ground and go, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going out for a smoke. I said, well, Scotty, a couple things. One, you don't smoke anymore. Two, you actually can't walk. So we need to get you back in. I want a cigarette. He was adamant. So I'm like, okay. So I have to find someone to help me pick him up because they become like dead weight babies, you know? And it's just like, so we get him up, get him dressed, have to find a wheelchair because he can't walk, and then I have to find a cigarette. I didn't smoke at the time. So I get all that. I wheel him downstairs. I get someone to light the cigarette. I give it to him. He goes like this. Throws it on the ground and goes, that's disgusting. I want to go back upstairs. Off we go back upstairs. Yeah, so that, it's a very short story, but that was probably an hour and a half of trying to coordinate all this stuff. And I was just like, yeah, because he was taller than me, but he was also pretty frail. But I laugh at it now. Because I'm like, what? Because I'm standing, what are you doing? Yeah. So, but, and, you know, it, and we talk about it with, when our parents are, or someone older, do you want your body to give out first, or do you want your mind to help you through that? So, in hindsight, he was lucky that his body was giving out, but so was his mind, because I really don't think he realized how sick he was.
No.
His skin was black. From like the waist down with cancer. He had no idea. Yeah. He was a funny kid. Like, we have a movie, a home movie from 1968, which seven out of the, well, maybe five out of the siblings will say that was the best Christmas ever, because my mom was in the hospital giving birth to another child, and we had just the best Christmas ever. And there's a movie of him, and he never came out to us until later on. But you look at this movie and you're like, how did we not know?
He was, how old was he?
Well, 68. I was six, so he would have been seven. And you're like, how did we?
There's no sound to this 8mm home movie thing. He's so gay. It's just hilarious. You look back now and you're like, oh, okay. I didn't even know what gay was.
That wasn't in our vocabulary.
From my point of view, you said, what would I say to him now if he was here? Just that he was loved. I don't think he ever knew how much people loved him.
Yeah.
Not just his family, but just everyone who met him.
Yeah.
But the hardest thing for me was that he didn't live long enough to get to the point where he was accepted and he could accept who he was. I always felt like he was unhappy his whole life, and just uncomfortable in his skin. And if he had lived a little bit longer, maybe even a year, the drugs would have been available, things would have changed, and we've seen it change for other people, like almost overnight. You know, people who thought they'd cash in their insurance policies, they thought they were going to die. And cocktails came along and they got better and they're still alive.
Yeah, Scott was, he was on AZT, which, as we know now, he might as well have been eating Skittles for all the good that it did. He didn't, once he was diagnosed, which was on December 26th, 1990, he wasn't well at Christmas, and his partner convinced him to go to Emerge the next day, and he was diagnosed with pneumocystis pneumonia, and he didn't survive 2 years after that. But he also moved to Vancouver so that he wouldn't have to go through it in front of my parents.
And probably in front of a lot of other people, too.
Yeah, and definitely in front of a lot of other people. I was entrusted with that secret. He was gone. It was a year before the rest of the family found out. And I will never keep that secret for anyone ever again. It was, not that this is about me, but it was a burden. And then when it came out, the anger was at me because I kept the secret.
Yeah.
And I will never, ever do that again. No, you can never.
It's not a fair thing to ask anybody, but he thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So he thought he was protecting everybody and himself, to be fair.
Yeah.
He was so scared of, of what people would say. So, no, but I would say he was loved, and I don't think that he ever knew.
No,
and it makes me sad that he didn't really know my kids. My daughter was born before he died, but my son never knew him.
Yeah.
And he would have been such a great uncle, like so much fun.
Yeah, he would have been a funcle. He would have been the funcle.
He would have loved them.
Yeah.
And I know that they would have loved him a lot. But I just have always felt really sad for him that he never grew into himself, you know? That he just never got to be the person that I thought he could be. And that I wished he could be. He was just always...
He was the kindest soul. So he had girlfriends until they wanted to have sex and he would break up with them. He'd be like, no, I can't. Yeah. did you know that?
Well, I just assumed that.
Yeah. And it was just, and they were like, they'd be like, oh, that makes so much sense now. Yeah, but he was, I mean, on his birthday or if I post something about him, the comments are always about how kind he was. Absolutely how kind he was.
And funny, he's a funny guy.
Funny guy, very funny guy. Well, I think our whole family's funny. But he was very funny. Very dry sense of humor. Yeah. It just, it was just the wrong time for him to, yeah.
You know, because we all know at the beginning it was just this crushing number of people that were dying, and it slowed down. And just the timing was bad for him. You know, and part of it was education too. No, we didn't even know. There was things that happened before he was diagnosed that if we had known, maybe he would have got diagnosed earlier. He had shingles, he had a couple of other things happen that pointed to his immune system being starting to crash, right? We didn't know.
No one knew.
So.
Yeah, I still have the address book, because I was talking to our sister Fiona, who lived in Vancouver and was probably the resident expert at the time, and I had phoned her to say that Scott was in the hospital because they kept him a couple of days. And she said to me the word pneumocystis. And I wrote it in my address book, and it's just right across the page, pneumocystis. And that was just like, and I've never gotten rid of the phone book. And I look at it and go, fuck, I remember that day. Yeah. It's interesting because in 2 weeks today, it would be his 65th birthday. And that's the birthday where he has been gone longer than he was alive.
Yeah.
And that just sucks.
I've never done that math. That's
sorry, that math lives in my head because I was younger than him. And I was never supposed to be older than he got to be. So that was also a shitty... I always have the math in my head. It's just... it's there. Plus, he was born in 1960. It's easy to do the math on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I knew that.
You knew that. Yeah. But it... since he's been gone, we have honored him with the AIDS Walk, which... when it got, like, the last year when it was only, like, what was there, 200 of us?
Mm.
That was it. Like, we were there. Even my dead big brother used to show up. Like, he knew that it was in the fall, and he'd call and go, when's the walk? And he would show up. But I started to do it in 1993. And Fran did it too, but... so my older sister, Fran, she realized that I was going to do the AIDS walk and that no one was going with me. So she left her house in Agent Court, and she was like, I don't know, a mile behind me, and never caught up. And she was like, I did the walk with you. No, you did. You did the walk. I was there. Yeah, but we all volunteered. Yeah.
It was really sweet. My kids couldn't wait till they were old enough to walk with me. Especially Al, as soon as she was able to come, she wanted to come along too.
Yeah.
So it was a big family thing too. My sister would come from Windsor with her daughters, and, you know, it brought the family closer together, I guess.
Yeah.
After being split apart by the big giant secret.
Yeah.
That was very, very hard. I don't blame him for that. I don't blame him and I don't blame you, but it was hard.
Yeah, but it was, I think... well, 93 would have been my first walk. And then the last one was just before COVID, I think. 2018, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Long time. Raised a fair bit of money. Yeah, but it was never, like, it was never really about the money. It was we called it Family Day. Yeah. And then there was some of the girls from MAC. They did it in his honor because he was one of the, they were girls that he met when we were young, and they just loved him, and yeah. Yeah. He is missed every day.
Yeah. Even all this time later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, he would love, we have a new little grandbaby. Well, I guess he's not new,
he's 18 months.
18 months. But he's a spitfire redhead. Yeah, Scott would love him. That would be...
oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, he'll never not be missed. Ever.
so much.
Thank you.
God,
so funny about how he thought that we didn't know that he was gay. So I lived very close to where he worked, and on Friday nights often he would finish work at the bank and we'd go have a beer at the Feathers on Kingston Road. And he's like, I need to meet you on Friday. I've got something that we need to talk about. And, you know, I'm like, okay. And he's like, so you're sure you can be there? Yeah, I can be there. So, you know, we sit down and I can see he's so uncomfortable and order drinks, drinking. I'm like, what do you want to tell me? He tells me he's gay. I'm like, that's it? That's your big story? I've known since forever. And he did the same thing.
You got to sit. So, I think I was working down here, and again, we meet down here, because he's got something to tell me. So I said, well, do you want to walk? Yeah, let's walk. We walked from King Street to, I think, Young and Eglinton. And he hadn't said anything yet. Mm-hmm. We had talked about everything, and I finally said, Scott, I can't walk anymore. I said, are you trying to tell me that you're gay? And he goes, yeah. He goes, what? And he goes to me, why didn't you say something sooner?
Why didn't you say something sooner? We're like, oh, Scott.
I said, well, I did it before we got to Hogs Hollow. That should count for something.
But it was just,
yeah.
That speaks to how I felt about him, though, that he was so scared to tell us. And we were like, cool, we knew.
Yeah, we knew.
You know, should have just opened up that kimono a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyhow, so are we good?
Yeah.